morning and happy Sabbath to all of you. As Christians, we know that we are not to somehow try to remove ourselves from this world, as some have tried. But with all the evil that occurs seemingly without end, it can maybe be tempting to try to do so. But Jesus clearly stated in chapter 17 and verse 15, when he prayed, "Not that you should take them out of the world." And we also know that while we're in this world, we shall have tribulation. This was made clear again by Jesus in chapter 16 and verse 33. So we're caught in a dilemma, are we not? We know we're going to be mistreated as Christians. We're going to be oppressed. We're going to experience tribulations just simply for being Christians, and already we have. And it's only normal to want to remove ourselves from such an environment. Anybody would want to. But Jesus prayed the opposite on our behalf. So what do we do? How do we, while in the world, keep ourselves unspotted, as it says in James chapter 1 and verse 27? And in the end, how do we overcome, as Jesus said he had done at the end of John chapter 16 and verse 33? Let's turn there really quickly. That's John chapter 16 and verse 33. John 16, 33. It says at the end of this verse, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So how did he do it? Well, I can assure you that it's not through revenge. Paul made that very clear in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Let's turn there. That's Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Paul writes, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" So God says vengeance is his, and that we should give place, that is, we should make room for his perfect wrath to repay the wrongs. If we, through our own anger and vengeance, try to somehow right the wrongs against us, then we're not allowing God to do so. And God will do it perfectly. And isn't vengeance ultimately what Satan is after? Isn't he motivated by wrath? He tried once already to overtake God and lost. And we know he plans to try again. He's trying to deceive the entire world to fight against God. Why? Because he's full of hate. Even his followers are called children of wrath. Please turn to Ephesians 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, where it reads, "And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," we know that's Satan, "the spirit that now works though in the children, in those children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were then by nature the children of wrath, even as others of the world." So it's clear God called us out of the world to no longer be full of hate as Satan is. We will, though, of course, still have our moments, but those are to be very brief. Please turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 26, where we receive instruction about that. Again, Ephesians 4, verse 26. "Be you angry, but sin not. And let not the sun go down on your wrath," which is to say it's to be brief, right? But what happens, though, if the moments of our anger are not brief? Well, we can read about that in the very next verse, verse 27. It says, "Neither give place to the devil." So then, when we hold on to our anger for more than just a brief moment, we allow Satan to have a place in us, to motivate us, to greatly influence us, cause us to do things we wouldn't otherwise do. All right, so back now to the dilemma. We know we can't, while we're yet in this world, respond to it and all its oppression, mistreatments, and evil with our own anger. That is clearly not what God wants. That would mean the world is overcoming us, and we're becoming more like Satan and his followers called the children of wrath. Satan wants nothing less for us to do that, since we'd be following suit right along with him. So, how do we overcome? How do we win? Well, Jesus has the answer in Matthew 6, and we'll start in verse 14. Matthew 6, and verse 14. Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So how do we overcome and win? We forgive. In order for our Heavenly Father to forgive us and enter His kingdom, becoming His sons forever, we must forgive others for their wrongs against us. Forgiveness is the key, but it's not always easy. Satan is a master at hitting us with those fiery darts in places that pierce us so very deeply. As a result, a very deep-seated anger can sometimes take hold of us. So again, how do we do it? How do we forgive? First off, in case there's any doubt remaining as to what forgiveness is, the definition according to Merriam-Webster is the following. It's to stop feeling anger toward someone who has done something wrong to you. That's forgiveness. So again, how do we do that? How do we stop feeling anger to those who have wronged us? To answer, I have 5 points to hopefully help. First, if it's not already obvious, we must let go of the anger. Don't be stubborn. Of course it hurts, and it will take time, maybe a long time to work through it, but keep working at it. God is always there to help and to provide guidance. Always ask Him for His help, because you can't do it alone. Second, stop dwelling about how we've been wronged. Rather, look towards the future. It's possible we'll need to prepare for the next time, the same treatment. We can't leave this world yet, remember? So, we better start preparing ourselves for that next time. Third, learn who can be trusted and who can't. And, if possible, stay away from those who can't be trusted. It's not always possible, but if it is. Fourth, everyone makes mistakes, including us. So, let's be realistic about what we expect from others. We also are often in need of forgiveness ourselves. Examine yourself first, before you set such high expectations for others. And last, go through steps 1 through 4 again, if needed. Forgiving others is something we can never stop doing. We must forgive. Remember, it's key. So keep forgiving as Jesus does, who so perfectly displayed an example for us while He was on the cross. Please turn with me to Luke 23 and verse 34 for the conclusion. Again, that's Luke 23 and verse 34. Luke 23:34. Jesus, of course, said it better than anybody else could have. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.